are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I'm talking about, this one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. A couple more texts and I'll jump on to the dipper. Dave from Madison says, the Babylon Bee, Biden promises the next Trump assassin will be a woman of color. Oh my gosh. whoever the men and women are at Babylon Bee that write this stuff, man, I'm telling you right now, they are epic. JT Lacey Springs, it was said that the golf course shooter was there for 12 hours. I've not heard, though. Did he have additional provisions to lay in and wait for 1, 2, 3 days? I don't know. He had backpacks. I know he had two backpacks, but part of that may have been ammo. And he strapped some ballistic plates to the fence line. So he was laid up for purpose. Gil from Douglas, Alabama says, love the stories about the angels. One more explanation why no one was placed at known sniper position. Somebody wants to make it easy to kill Trump. I hope you're wrong, but there you go. JT Lacey Springs says, also, by the way, 6 gas station tacos will blow up your belt. And I'm pretty sure some of those pickled eggs and fried fish that our buddy Jeff from Indiana gets all the time would have to do the same thing. What do we got here? It says, John from Huntsville says, Phil, I think I know the answer to this question, but I just have to ask, are you going to watch Kamala Harris and Oprah Winfrey's live stream event in Michigan? Well, John, that'd be a hard no. Thank you for asking. Hillbilly Yankee from Huntsville says, Phil, I don't get to listen to your show every day because of the work I do, but I'm so very grateful I was listening today. Your monologue was a blessing. Hillbilly Yankee. Thank you, my friend. Thank you very much. Hey, let's jump on some stuff right here now. I say Belvedere. Let's talk about law and order. So, I got examples of issues with law and order being impacted by progressive liberal policies in other parts of the nation. But then I really began to hone in on how much of an issue it is right here in our capital in Montgomery, Alabama. And y'all, I'll be honest with you, I developed a love for Montgomery when I was going back and forth there as I served in the state Senate. I had only gone through Montgomery before that, but I really began to kind of dwell in Montgomery, become more aware of the history there, become more aware of the beauty of it, the architecture, the downtown environment. It's in so many ways, it's such a cool city. Maxwell Air Force Base is there. And the bottom line is this, it's a great, great city that is not being well served by its current leadership. It is stuck right now in that endless loop of progressive policy that just seems to constantly erode the great cities of this nation. Part of that is in relation to law and order, because somehow or another, progressives always find a way to soften the ability to do policing and blame somebody else when things go badly. Classic case in point is Mayor Stephen Reed, who is the mayor of Montgomery. Stephen Reed was formerly the probate judge for that area. I don't know if he has any leadership experience at all, but he is now the mayor of one of the Big Ten cities. He's also, by the way, the son of Joe Reed, who is the longtime teachers union / Democrat Party operative who has gerrymandered state politics for decades. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like a lot, like decades. When you find issues with the Alabama Democrat Party, you almost always find the name Joe Reed attached to it. When you find issues related to the AEA, the teachers union, going back for decades, a lot of times you find one of the names that's always in the mix is Joe Reed. I mean, that guy has dabbled in and messed with Alabama politics for longer than I've been alive. And his son is now the mayor of Montgomery. Well, violent crime is on the rise in Montgomery. It is not good. There was a time when walking around downtown at night was, you know, that was cool. That was great. Now, not so much. And they've done a lot to hopefully revitalize some of the areas downtown, like where the Montgomery Biscuits, the minor league baseball team play. By the way, what a cool stadium. If you've never seen it, it's worth the trip. They took a whole bunch of these old, classic, street front buildings, and they hollowed them out So on the outside of the stadium, it still looks like the original streetscape, but when you walk through the doors of the building, you come into the stadium. It's very cool. It's right there on the river. There's a lot of goodness there. There's a lot of problems with crime. So, story here on 1819. This one came out in June. Lawmakers continue to push back against Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed's attempts to avoid responsibility for the growing crime in Montgomery by blaming the state for passing constitutional carry. Here's the thing. There have been some major shootings. Like just in recent months, we had one triple homicide at a grocery store. We had a highway shootout that left a woman paralyzed. Government buildings being riddled with bullets. We've had the situation where the guy left an explosive device at the door of the attorney general's office. We had a mass shooting that left 13 people injured. All of this happening in our state capital. What does Mayor Reed do? He blames the legislature for doing away with gun permits. What? Does he think for a second that the people that go out and shoot other people on the street were at all ever constrained by the idea of having to have a concealed carry permit? I mean, but that's who's in charge of Montgomery right now. So after the most recent mass shooting, 1819 points out that Reed once again called on lawmakers to pass, quote, common sense gun reforms. They always call it that, don't they? Let's skip the whole Second Amendment thing. Just call it common sense gun reform. And he blames the state legislature for not allowing more stringent gun controls. Okay. So it's gotten so bad that there are legislators who are now dropping bills in to be considered in the next legislative session that would basically allow the state to take over a law enforcement, a local law enforcement, if they're not getting the job done. All right. Alabama State Senator Will Barfoot, who's been on the show several times. Will Barfoot's a good dude. He represents the Pike Road area down there. He says most people don't realize this, but the concealed carry permit only applied to pistols. There was nothing before the concealed carry permit law when it was in place to stop me or you or anybody else from walking down Dexter Avenue with a shotgun or a rifle or a pistol because we were an open carry state. He said the concealed carry permit did nothing. He said there were 125 people in 2021 who were arrested in municipal court for carrying a pistol concealed, but it did not change the numbers. So the concealed carry permit, he said, that's just not accurate. That has nothing to do with crime rate. They also, by the way, changed the narrative a little bit because Mayor Reed's been trying to say, well, violent crime's actually down, and I wish you all would pay attention to that. He said it's because they've changed the manner in which they do their reporting. Oh, well, that's interesting. If you can't win, change the rules. Well, if they're changing the reporting to not record certain types of crimes, yeah, then suddenly you have a difference. Well, it's gotten so bad now in Montgomery that even the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, is speaking out. Now, the FOP will always speak out when, you know, gets at odds with the mayor. It's kind of like, you know, the usual, like, you know, the rank and file union against the you know, big labor, the management. But in this case, what they're saying is, we need help. So WSFA is one of the local channels down there. WSFA had a story that came out in May of this year that the local FOP, the president, Everett Johnson, raised concerns to the mayor about the police department's officer shortage. Get this. Johnson says the department currently has 290 officers, but they're supposed to have 490. Ooh. I mean, they're operating at about three-fifths of what they're supposed to have. He says the morale of the agency is at an all-time low. The leadership over the past few administrations has really dampened morale. Johnson also says in his letter that the organization is willing to help develop solutions, but Reed says, no, they got other motives. They do? He said that organization has an agenda. I think this organization is really taking a small sample size of officers that they're talking to. I talk with officers every day. There's a lot of good things happening. Well, yeah, there's a lot of good things happening. It does not mean that it's where it needs to be, though. So he's immediately dismissive. So now you've got a mayor of one of the biggest cities in the Southeast, one of the top cities and the state capital, by the way, in the state of Alabama, who on his tenure, on his watch, has seen violent crime rise while police department ranks have depleted. And he'd better get a grip on it. But what's his solution? Blame everybody else. When the FOP says, we're at 3/5 right now in terms of our Manning roster. His response is, well, you have an agenda. Well, maybe their agenda is law enforcement. How about that? And then he says, well, you know, violent crime, that's because of the legislature passing gun laws. Are you of the opinion that murderers care about gun laws anyway? Well, he's got some solutions, just so you know. When I get back from this break, I'll tell you how Mayor Reed decided, you know what, I'm taking matters into my own hands. Well, that sounds great. What does that mean? Well, he intends to violate your gun rights, violate your civil liberties, because, you know, he's mayor. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Jeff from Indiana texted in and says, hey, Phil, the combination of pickled eggs and fish are not explosive, but it does produce corrosive fumes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us, Jeff from Indiana. Wiley from Guntersville texted in. He says, Phil, the angel story is something I can relate to and always love to hear him. He said, my personal experience is when my dad called my name in a normal voice and saved my life when I was operating a machine that was so loud that it would be hard to hear oneself scream. As crazy as it sounds, I heard my name called out in my dad's voice, and he had already passed away 2 years prior. Wow, Wiley, that's an amazing story. And I believe it, by the way. Ken from Rimlap says, Phil, talking about Maxwell Air Force Base, remember the Capitol Inn we all stayed in while attending MEPS? Yeah, that place is gone, man. They tore that sucker down. Jerry from Decatur says, Republicans three, assassins zero, and the Democrats call this a democracy. Give me some jackassery. Yeah, bro, we're going to be playing all kinds of jackassery here in a little while. Brian from Decatur says, I'm not sure if I ever said this before. However, today's politics is like a bad daytime soap opera. Every single day there's a new drama, ending with consistent, unresolved cliffhangers. You tune in the next day, the storyline changes again. Yeah, well, you know, I think it's also called life, dude. We're going to keep working our way through it, man. Got a brand new texter, Big Rig. You can plug him in. Bo from Coleman. Bo from Coleman says, the mayor of Montgomery must be kin to the ICE president blaming their problems on other people. Go Trump. All right, so here's the thing. The mayor of Montgomery, Stephen Reed. I spent some time building up the case a while ago that Stephen Reed is a classic liberal. He comes from a long line of liberalism in terms of Alabama politics. He's determined to make sure that you understand that it's not his fault. Just so you understand, it's not my fault. It can't be me. I'm the mayor. I don't have anything to do with, you know, policies. Okay. Here's the end result of that. Bunk. You do. You own it. You can't blame everybody else, Mayor Reed. You can't blame everybody else. So what does he do? Well, the first thing is, I'm going to take matters into my own hands because I just can because, yeah. So here's a piece I pulled off the NRA website. It made national news. I just happened to find it there. So today is what, the 19th of September? On September 6th, Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed signed a gun control ordinance requiring a valid photo ID to carry a concealed firearm in a vehicle or on your person in the city of Montgomery, Alabama. Mayor Reed is the latest anti-gun elected official to liberally interpret state law to infringe upon Second Amendment rights. This egregious local gun control measure runs directly counter to the state's firearm preemption laws. So let's make sure we're clear. Not only is there a Second Amendment, but Alabama has already passed laws that bind you from being required to purchase a permit or do anything other than be a lawful citizen to own a gun. I mean, outside of the things that might be, you know, controlled under the National Firearms Act, you can own a firearm. We're an open carry state, but you can also carry concealed without a permit. Now, I can't tell you what neighboring states will be. I went ahead and got a gun permit anyway just to give some money to my sheriff's department and then also so that I can carry in other states. But the reality is this. The new city ordinance in Montgomery says that if a person cannot provide a valid photo ID, their firearm can be confiscated. It'll be held by the Montgomery police for 30 days, after which it can be disposed of if you don't come claim it. And you may have to show a valid ID to get it back and pay a $150 fine. My gosh. By the way, is there a memory that anybody has that photo ID is racist? Does anybody remember that? When did that go away? Well, you can't require a photo ID to vote. That's racist. Why? Because you're basically telling us that black people don't know how to get a photo ID? Well, now apparently it's okay, though, to make sure you have a photo ID to exercise your Second Amendment rights. Somebody explain that to me. Well, you can't. There is no explaining that. That is just absolutely... In fact, you know what, Big Rig? Just hit the jackassery button, man. Just go ahead and just hit it, maybe even twice. It's just... I bet if I was to look back, I would find... Thank you, jackassery. Yes, indeed. I think if I were to look back, I would probably find that that Mayor Stephen Reed probably has a comment somewhere about photo ID for voting being something that infringes upon people's civil liberties. But he's going to make sure you have to have a photo ID if you want to have a firearm in his city. Luckily, though, Attorney General Steve Marshall is the Attorney General for the state of Alabama. I just saw him the other day. He's going to be in studio with us here in a couple weeks. But Attorney General Steve Marshall disagrees with the city of Montgomery, released a statement saying the Montgomery City Council ordinance related to firearms violates state law. Code of Alabama plainly states the legislature is the sole regulator of firearms matters and related matters overall. So that's who we've got right now running the city of Montgomery. But don't worry, they're taking additional measures. Pray tell, Phil, what is he going to do? They're going to have a gun buyback program. Really? What does that mean? That means you bring in your guns, they'll give you some money. Well, how much will they give you? Well, listen to this. WSFA reports, Dateline 2 days ago, that this coming Saturday, Central Alabama Crime Stoppers and the Montgomery Police Department and the City of Montgomery are hosting a gun buyback event. This anonymous gun buyback event will take place on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. in the parking lot of True Divine Baptist Church on Troy Highway. People who surrender guns will receive $50 for a rifle or a shotgun, $100 for a functioning handgun, $200 for a semi-automatic rifle. Because you know the assault rifles, that's the big money right there. Okay. Just so you know, they have some commentary here about whether or not it's been effective in the past. It says, this event is an effort to provide a safe and anonymous way for community members to turn in their firearms they no longer need or want. Well, that sounds like criminals, doesn't it? In the past, it says, those who have participated included widows who were left with numerous guns. Well, there's a hardcore criminal. Single adults who were given a gun by their parents but never taught how to use them. Well, that's about feckless, but doesn't sound very threatening. And parents who didn't want a gun falling into the hands of their child. Does anything in what I just read to you sound like something that would impact crime statistics? The short answer is no. You're looking at a waste of taxpayer dollars so they can do something that has been proven elsewhere to have no impact whatsoever. This is a pure virtue signal. This is absolutely what happens when a liberal has an opportunity to use your money to do something to curtail civil liberties and feel good about themselves in the process. I got more on this. By the way, let's make sure the widows don't have any guns they don't want. That's a big deal for crime. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two here on a Turbo Thursday. We're going to rush you as fast as we can to the Friday. I got a caller on the line who held on during the break, so let me just honor his time real quick. Tom from Huntsville. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
We're doing well, Phil. How's your crew doing today?
Everybody's good over here, man. What's on your mind?
So I'm tired of you talk about the straw purchasing from our state capitol, okay? I hailed from the People's Republic of Chicagoland, Illinois.
Ah.
So they tried doing this straw buying before.
Yep.
If you have a person purchasing guns for, say, $200 for a semi-auto, first of all, they're just going to give you some broken 10-year-old, 10-22 that rusted 10 years ago and give you, like, a gift card for $200, which is basically 3 to 5 days for food for me and a 10-year-old, right? Let's be real. But why are we going to give a $15, $18, $2,500 gun for $200, point one? Point two, if you have a person buying these guns, isn't that illegal if they don't have a license to buy firearms? And let's just add, if they are a FFL, the one at the counter, purchasing them, if they have an FFL, they're doing it on behalf of the city. Does that make it a straw purchase, which is also a felony?
You bring up excellent points. And, oh, by the way, the fact that you talk about Chicago, that's the next article in my stack here. But yeah.
Chicago connection.
All right, man. Well, listen, have a great day. Appreciate you.
You too, now.
All right. He's not wrong. Chicago has done this a lot. And his points are well taken, too, by the way. Why would you? In fact, I just saw, where was that? I think it was Dave from Madison texted it. Yeah, there it is. Dave from Madison texted in and says, Larry's pistol and pawn pays better for old guns than Montgomery. Yeah, I'm saying. If you want to make some money off your old firearms, don't give it to the city of Montgomery for a gift card. Go down to your local pawn shops and tell them you want to sell it. As long as you've got it, you know, in a position where it's not going to be, you know, tied to a crime or something, they're going to give you top dollar for it. Oh, it's maddening. But so I got a piece, gun buybacks. All right. So Mayor Stephen Reed in Montgomery, his latest effort at virtue signaling and passing the buck is to do a gun buyback. CNN had an article that came out in April of 22. So this is 2.5 years ago, right? But it points out in here, it says, Chicago officials launched a fundraising campaign to support the city's largest ever gun buyback program with the goal of raising $1 million to entice people to turn in their guns during two large events. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, remember her? Whew. Mayor Lori Lightfoot called it a bold new initiative, said it would get guns out of the hands of dangerous people. Not really. But it goes on to say, this is CNN, by the way. CNN. Decades of research show such programs don't reduce gun violence, in large part because they don't result in guns being taken from people who are not supposed to have them. My point exactly. That article I had earlier from WSFA about the gun buyback down in Montgomery talks about how, well, they did have some widows who turned some in that they didn't want from their deceased husbands, and they had some parents who were scared about leaving them in the house with their kids. And yeah, how does that impact crime? It doesn't. It does not. One recent study, said CNN, found that there is no evidence that gun buyback programs reduce suicides or homicides where a firearm was involved. Wow. It goes on to say, quoting from a retired NYPD sergeant, that it's nothing but good theater. It's not helping deal with gangs and drug dealers. He says these things are dog and pony shows. Look, $1 million, he says, to do all this stuff, it's not going to help the violence in Chicago or anywhere else. It's a feel-good to make politicians feel like they're doing something. It means absolutely nothing. And by the way, it also points out in this article from CNN, Chicago records more murders each year than any other city in America. And its police department also takes up more guns through enforcement than any other city. So I'm just saying, apparently, it doesn't work. By the way, I couldn't help it. I had to. Some of y'all remember this story. We laughed about it on the show back when it happened. October of 2022. Do you remember the guy who had a 3D printer and he made gun parts and he sold them at a gun buyback program for $21,000? Story here from Fox News, October of 2022. A New York man claims to have made $21,000 during a gun buyback program by 3D printing over 100 lower receivers and turning them over to the police. He just got hunks of plastic for next to nothing. Says he printed out the gun parts on a $200 3D printer that he received as a gift for Christmas. And then made a 6-hour drive up to Utica, New York, where the Utica Police Department was hosting a gun buyback program for the New York State Attorney General's office. Nice. Him talking, he didn't want to tell his whole name. He goes by the name of Kim. He says, he said he saw the tote, and he says, how many firearms you have? And I said, 110. And they were like, what? He spent half the day negotiating with them, and they finally says, it ended with a guy and a lady from the budget office coming around with 42 gift cards and counting them out in front of me. $21,000 in $500 gift cards. Because he sat there at his house for days thinking, I'm going to see how this goes. Yeah, pretty sure they didn't reduce crime. Pretty sure they just spent taxpayer dollars. But y'all, this is what libs do. This is what libs do. Chicago, again, I've got a story that's kind of off the gun buyback thing that I was talking about. But it's just a classic example of having an agenda and a campaign promise that does nothing for public safety, they've got a thing called ShotSpotter. It's a system that's set up around Chicago. I believe we use that in Baghdad, as a matter of fact. ShotSpotter. It gathers the acoustic signal, of a shot being fired. It triangulates it immediately, and it sends word to police that a shot was fired in this vicinity. You don't have to wait for a 911 call. You can deploy police immediately to the general vicinity, and it's a lifesaver. But the brand spanking new liberal mayor, this story came out yesterday, of Chicago, Mayor Brandon Johnson, the former teachers union guy. He denounced ShotSpotter as a walkie-talkie on a pole. Says we're not spending any more money on it. He's canceling the contract. Alderman Anthony Beal of Chicago's 9th Ward dismissed and criticized Johnson for doing this, saying it saves lives. And he's comparing it to walkie-talkies on a stick. He doesn't understand what the tool is. It's a campaign issue for him. He doesn't understand it. But the Chicago Police Department is saying, do not do away with this, because it gives them immediate opportunity for a response to a shooting incident. But that's what libs do. Make it harder to enforce. Blame somebody else. Buy back guns with your tax dollars. And then do away with programs that might actually help you. Just saying. Got a bunch of text messages. My word. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take some text messages here for a few minutes. No, I'll tell you what. It's too early for a break. Let me do a few texts. Let's see here. Brian from Decatur says, with that gun buyback program, it sounds like you would do better to take it to a pawn shop. Mark, there you go. Take it to a pawn shop, get more money. I don't know whether to laugh out loud or chug some Pepto-Bismol. Just maybe both, brother. Cameron from Decatur says, I grew up in Pike Road when it was dirt roads and party lines, and Montgomery was always my home until 25 years ago when I moved to Decatur. It was a great city. I'm sure it still has greatness in it, but it's depressing when I go back to visit. I get it. Sandy from Harvest, he says, please, protection of the Lord over us that we don't get a Mayor Reed here in Huntsville. Yeah, I'm saying. By the way, you make a great point, Sandy. You can look at Birmingham, which is really about as bad as Montgomery, with Mayor Randall Woodfin and his liberal policies, and the crime and the loss of population in Birmingham proper, downtown struggling in some ways. And they want to blame state law. At one point, I remember when Mayor Woodfin blamed the state of Alabama for being too pro-life, saying he was going to lose businesses, and yet 1 hour north of him is Huntsville, which is one of the most dynamic and growing cities in the entire Southeast United States. Same state laws, different local leadership. What does that tell you? Yeah, I agree with you, Sandy. I'm hoping we have, when Mayor Battle decides that he's done, I hope we have a good follow-up. Bert from Owens Crossroads says, Phil, way back when I was flying for a hospital in Montana, there were all sorts of God moments that occurred during these medevac flights. Okay, he's referring back to my monologue. If you missed it, by the way, I'd encourage you to hear it about angels unaware. He said, there were all sorts of God moments that occurred during these medevac flights. Most frequent was the weather mysteriously clearing up enough to reach a patient or to get to a specialty destination. He said, I certainly know it was not my skill set that made any of that happen. Nah, Bert, but I bet you got some great stories, brother. I'll tell you what, Big Rig, take us to the break, man. I'll come back. I got a bunch of more text messages. We'll clean some of those up. And don't forget, coming up bottom of the hour, Butters and Lee. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Man, pulling pins on truth grenades around here. Teresa from Town Creek says, anti-Israel protesters at the University of North Carolina attack and vandalize. I'm not sure what we're doing, Teresa. I'm not even talking about that, but thank you very much. Chris from Gadsden says, just FYI, he says, my gun permit begins with a well-regulated militia. And your gun permit merely told the government where you live and what type of gun you have. Nice. Well played, sir. Brian from Huntsville says, indirectly, hasn't Donald Trump removed at least two firearms from dangerous criminals? I guess indirectly he has. John from Lexington, South Carolina, says gun buybacks are an opportunity for the average person to buy platforms cheap. Just go to the buyback and offer $5 more or cash. You know what? That's an interesting idea. So you show up You show up at the gun buyback. You sit out in the parking lot and you go, what do you got there, man? What do you got? You taking that? I'll tell you what, I'll give you twice as much for it. What do you want for that? That pistol? You're giving $50 from them. I'll give you $100. That's an idea. That is an idea. Wow. Of course, they're probably going to spotlight you as a, you know, non-licensed firearms dealer or something requiring a background check. Scott from Somerville says, if requiring ID is racist towards black people and the Montgomery mayor says you can't have a firearm without an ID, it sounds like the Montgomery mayor is saying that black people in the city can't have guns. Sounds pretty racist to me. Scott, your logic is sound. Well, your reasoning is sound. The logic of it still doesn't make any sense, but you're right. Josh from Moulton says, the government doesn't pass my background check. Woo, there you go. Bruce from Springville says, why would I want to turn in my guns to Mayor Jack Assery in order for a criminal to take that money off my dead body? Okay. David from Huntsville, why is it called buyback? Did the owner buy the gun from the government in the first place? That's a great point. You're buying it back. Well, no, the government didn't buy it. I'd never thought of that. Semantics, but still, nonetheless, very interesting wording. All right, listen, we got plenty going on. We're going to come back from the break here in a few minutes and have some Butters and Lee time, but I'll just tell you right now, you got mayors out there and city council members who are complete knuckleheads who do not recognize that they are just as accountable to constitutional rights as anybody in D.C. It's amazing to me when they forget that if you look around, too, by almost any office that someone is sworn into, they have to swear an oath. It's their statement of oath or their oath of office. And for dog catcher, you have it. The very idea that they would then violate that oath willingly is a clear indication they didn't understand what they were swearing in the first place. Swear an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And if you're swearing into a state office, you also were designed to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Alabama. Nothing in there. I guarantee you, if we look back, you'll find that Mayor Reed stood there with his hand on a family Bible and gave that exact oath. And nothing in there allows you to then curtail the Second Amendment. To just make up on your own the idea that, you know, I just feel like we're going to require a photo ID in our city. When I was in the legislature, I had a bill that would prevent certain things like that. Because we always find these novel theories under which someone at a local level... I had examples from around the nation. One of them was a sheriff in a small county in, I think it was Maine, that required people to write a paper as to why they needed a gun permit. Write a paper. Who's going to grade it? But then again, think about it. That means you have to be literate and have writing skills to be allowed to have a gun permit. Come on. You got out in Seattle. What are they doing in Seattle? Well, they finally realized they weren't going to get around the whole idea of bridging your Second Amendment rights effectively. So what they do? They tax bullets. 5 cents per round, local tax in Seattle, Washington. 5 cents per round. You buy a box of 20 rounds, you're paying an extra dollar just for that box. They're trying to tax it into oblivion. No wonder people in Washington State are looking at seceding from the state and joining Idaho. Listen, the reality is this. They are rights. They're not privileges. They're not opportunities. They're not allowances. They are rights. And that's all there is to it. Jerry Big Dog from Athens texts in. He says, Big Dog from Athens here. Heaven has immigration rules and hell has open borders. Wow. That's interesting. And then a brand spanking new texter. Tell us where you are, who you are, where you're from. Oh, it's David. He says it right there. David from Hoax Bluff. We're glad you're in the list. He says, they can take mine from my dead hands. LOL. There you go. Bob from Madison says, I will guarantee you can get more money for your weapon from the black market than from any buyback scheme. I'm just saying, you want to sell it, go to the pawn shop, really. I've done it before. I've gone and traded. One of my favorites is Leesburg Guns. Leesburg Guns in Cherokee County, Alabama. They've got a great used gun section, and they will credit your next purchase by taking in something you already, what did I have? I think I had a, I had an over-under that I didn't really care for. I didn't like it. And I had something, I had a model 5906 Smith & Wesson 9mm that I just felt like it was a chunk of metal. And I was just ready to do something different. Traded them both in, got me a nice Glock. Look, I'm just saying, gun buybacks, that's virtue signaling, man. Law and order. Coming up next, Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.